This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Big thanks to Heisty for getting us up to date. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan, the big one at 1. And I think this is a really neat, this is a touching story, but it's also a book I think that a lot of you guys could be really interested in. Now, Washington, D.C., along with its suburbs, has been one of the capitals of basketball for many generations. And a book that just came out is recounting the inspiring stories of the players, coaches, and schools and the rivalries from the turn of the 20th century to the turn of the 21st century in this area. It is partially authored by a friend of the show, David Elfin. How he got involved in this book is both tragic and inspiring, and he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. David, thanks for hopping aboard here on Grant and Danny. Good to have you back on the show.
Hey, Grant, how are you today?
Doing very well, buddy. So I guess let's start with this. Your late friend, John McNamara, was working on this book. He was one of the 5 reporters that was killed in Annapolis at the Capitol Gazette shootings in June of 2018, which is just so tragic. I mean, take us back to him working on this book. I mean, how familiar were you with the project? How big of a passion was this book to him? And then how you got involved after his death before it was done?
John and I met at the Washington Post as part-time reporters in 1982. I know we're dating ourselves. And we bonded over our course of a love of sports. And then we had a blizzard here in February 83. And we were the 2 people assigned to go to the Post and write all the cancellation stories. And it kept snowing. And the Post put up a few people in the office at a hotel in D.C. John and I shared a room. And from then on, we were buds. We stayed in touch. He came to my wedding. And we wrote a book in 2001-02 called Cole Classics about the great times at Maryland basketball at Cole Fieldhouse when it was closing. They happened to win the national championship, which really helped book sales. I knew John loved high school sports and loved basketball in particular. I did not know he was working on this book. And then that horrible day in 2018, a bunch of us were texting back and forth, has anybody heard from John? Has anybody heard from John? And obviously, we never did. And at the service at Maryland, a couple of weeks later, his wife, Andrea Chambly, mentioned this project and said she was looking for somebody to help her finish the book. And John and I had written a book together before. Our styles meshed well. I had time. It made sense.
It's pretty amazing, and it's awesome. So congratulations on getting this thing done, David. How far back do you go? And give me some kind of bullet points here just in terms of the origins of this thing and then kind of picking up where John left off.
Danny, John put together incredible notes. Andrew had 3 boxes worth of files he'd put together year by year. Here's what happened. And with bullet points, as you said. And this goes back to before the start of the last century. James Naismith starts basketball in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1891. And a guy named Maurice Joyce, who was African-American from D.C., went up there and brought the game back. And between him and a guy named E.B. Henderson, they really got the sport going here, and they were both black guys. And that's one thing that is the thread throughout this book, is in a town that was very segregated for a long time, basketball was one of the few things that at times would bring people together. There's a particular playground, I don't know if you guys have heard about over the years, called Turkey Thicket in Northeast, and guys would play there, black kids, white kids, suburban kids, city kids. And as John wrote in the book, they all drank from the same water fountain when it was verboten to do that anywhere else. And so John left all these great notes, but he had written 80% of the book. So I finished the last part, which is the 1990s. And his wife, Andrea, has been a bulldog shepherding this project through. It's gotten rave reviews. The New York Times named it one of the best sports books of last year. And it's doing well.
That's awesome. It's a really, really cool thing, both from his wife's and your standpoint, to finish this. And obviously, it would have made him very proud. Capital of basketball, a history of D.C. area high school hoops. Now, I think this is something that is probably known, but to the extent that you guys dug into this, I think this is one of those things, David, having gotten to see the book and look through it, I had no idea about the rich history. You know, we think about the recent prospects and some of the great NBA players that have come from this area, but it really is incredible. You can paint with a broad brush if you'd like, but just on naming it, you know, the capital of basketball and why that's so relevant, that's a case you can make pretty easily.
Yeah, and of course you're playing off the fact that we're the nation's capital, but I think on a per capita basis, and there may be some small towns I don't know about, but I think we can stand up there with New York or Chicago or Philly or LA, and they all have a lot more people than we do. And we put, you know, some amazing players out. You look at the NBA's all-time top 50 players they brought out maybe 20 years ago, and a bunch of them were from here. I mean, Spingarn High School in Northeast, which is closed now, that school alone produced Dave Bing, Elgin Baylor, and Sherman Douglas. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
David Elfin with us. The book is called The Capital of Basketball. I'm looking at it right now on Amazon.com. It's by David, his late friend, John McNamara, and John's wife. And you mentioned you did the 90s. I'm assuming there was an entire chapter devoted to a 6-foot, 145-pound skinny kid that got dunked on by everybody from Lonnie Baxter to, I don't know, other superstars that went on to big things. Of course, talking about myself in little tiny St. Albans school, David. But give me some of the big highlights, like some of the big, most recent things that you kind of hit on in that era that you were writing about in the 90s.
Well, the most recent person who doesn't make the book, who is a great player, of course, everybody knows Kevin Durant is from here. And Danny, you just missed making the
just
book. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, that's all right. I get it.
I heard you lost to the NCS team, actually. But
we would have. They were good.
Well, hey, Bella Allery from Princeton, who went to NCS, is maybe one of the best women's players in the country
right
now. There is a guy in this book, in the 90s chapter, I actually did the interview for. His name is Chris Chaney. And Grant, he's a little bit in common with you in terms of being a young prodigy. The guy is 20 years old at UMBC in 1991. He's a tennis player with an interest in basketball, had played in high school. And this small private school in southern PG County reaches out to him and says, you want to be a coach? And he thought, okay, be cool. I'll be assistant coach. No, he was the head coach. His name is Chris Chaney. 29 years later, he's coaching at one of those sports academies in Pennsylvania. He has won almost 800 games.
Wow.
If he stays what he's doing, he may have the all-time record for victories by a high school coach. He's coached a number of NBA players. Lewis Bullock, maybe, who went to Michigan, is maybe his greatest player. But he was fascinating. He's been at a bunch of different schools. And 20 years old, he starts coaching. And that was the era when Joe Gallagher was leaving St. John's. Morgan Wooten was ready to wrap it up at DeMatha. So we did have an era of change. But, you know, you can look at any decade you want in this book, and there are great players. There are great teams from McKinley Tech, which is closed as well, in the 30s and 40s. Carroll High School in the late 50s had a guy named George Leftwich, and a guy you may have heard of named John Thompson on that team.
Yeah, I held Lewis Bullock to 36 points when we matched up, GP.
And not even, of course, DeMatha. You know, Morgan Wooten had so many great players there. And a school that's closed as well, a private school called Mackin in D.C., produced Johnny Dawkins, who started Duke, and Austin Carr, who started Notre Dame,
wow,
and averaged 50.5 points in the NCAA tournament.
Wow. David Elfin, The Capital of Basketball is the book. You know, we were emailing back and forth, and you've kind of put together your first and your second teams of the all-DC, kind of all-area guys from over the years. I was stunned to see Grant Hill of South Lakes was only on the second team with Adrian Dantley. I think Danny Ferry was on that second team with Johnny Dawkins, because you had, I believe it was Bing, Austin Carr, Elgin Baylor, and then if Durant had made the book, obviously he's a little bit more recent, but David Robinson all on that first team coached by Wooten. Man, I mean, Grant Hill not even on the first team.
He was pretty good.
Now, if we did a Northern Virginia team, he'd be on the first team, but not with the D.C. kids and not the Maryland kids. I mean, you know, and that's how great Grant Hill is, but had a very, very rich history here. And there's, I mean, sorry about, I got a cold.
Yeah,
there was nobody
on
my
throat,
team.
Dave. Clear that out.
Yeah,
you go clear that out. Danny and I can carry this for a second. You
there
worked
is
on
nobody
that
on this team who's before 1955. So there were great players then, you know, and I just didn't know anything about them to really put them on this team. I'd never even seen them play in the pros. So it's pretty serious. And, you know, Morgan Wooten was considered by John Wooden, who's arguably the greatest coach of all time, John Wooden once said Morgan Wooten is a better coach than I am.
Wow.
What can you say about that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Pretty high praise.
Check out the book. It's The Capital of Basketball. And, David, it's really cool that you took this project on.
Seriously, kudos,
man. You felt some pressure and some angst while doing it, but it's neat. And as you know, I'm sure John would be very happy to see it hit the bookshelves. Hopefully our listeners will go get it and read it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the time.
Thanks,
you
Dave.
Bet. There's David Elfin. What a story, though.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, can you imagine how tough that must be? 2018, just an awful tragedy. John's gone, and David and the wife say, you know what, let's
pick
finish
up the mantle,
thing.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. You're listening to The Fan. We got a lot still to get to in our final 45 or so minutes. We still haven't talked to Trent Williams yet. We are back where we started with Trent. How long are we going to allow this to go before we just throw up our hands and say, you know what, we're good here?
That's all for me. You guys have been great.
What's the best pick we can get for Trent? You're locked into The Fan.
Over it, my hand went up.
I think this situation is way less complicated than we are all making it to be. It is time to trade him. He should have been traded in 2019. Most of us agree with that. It is an outrage, and it is utterly preposterous, and a complete joke that he was not.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Allen, in his last parting gift for the Redskins, so to speak.
I left it in the punch bowl for you.
Decided... that they were not.
It's floating right there.
You know I can't laugh.
I'm sorry.
I sound like an old smoker.
You sound like David Elfin on the phone.
Oh, why'd you do it to me?
All right. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, enjoy this one, Redskins fans.
He did leave it in the punch.
Right there.
Just an outrage. He decided he wasn't going to trade Trent Williams. They'd keep him all year. They'd lose 1 year. It'd basically be closer to free agency, and they wouldn't get anything for him.
And they legitimately hoped, by the way, they could do some kind of weird backdoor thing to keep him for 2 years. I read that. That was a legitimate hope of theirs.
Good luck with that. He now has 1 year left on his deal. It is time to get whatever you can for him. We had heard a bunch about him and Ron Rivera having these discussions, and they were going well, and they're getting on the same page, and everyone likes each other. That's all cool.
Cool.
He wants a new contract.
Oh.
That is what he wants.
No, great. That's from months ago. That's from the whole Bruce Allen saga. Isn't that what that's from? What you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is what he said yesterday.
Oh.
Because he came back out by way of Josina Anderson and a couple other people.
I mean, get me out of here.
And he made it known he wants a new contract or he would like to be traded.
I'd like to pop smoke, please, and be taken away.
So all those conversations with Ron Rivera that happened, good for Ron Rivera and good for Trent Williams. They seem to like each other fine. It does not change that this was always about two things. Trent Williams was, in his mind, wronged by the Redskins. They did not find something going on in his head, a tumorous, cancerous, very serious situation as early as they should have. I feel bad for Trent Williams. I don't think the Redskins did well by him. It doesn't sound like they gave him the treatment or the care, or he wasn't a fan of how much support they showed him outside of Dan Snyder and a bunch of different things. And he's probably right on all of that. This is way too serious for me to question any of his motives in terms of why he was angry with the Redskins, why he didn't like Bruce Allen, why he didn't like the training staff. I'm not going to do that. But whether it was a tiny part or a big part, I can't tell you. Another part of this was always his contract. Was always that he also wanted to be paid more than he was scheduled to make, because he has been surpassed by several other tackles, many of whom he probably would tell you are not as good as him, in terms of overall value at the position and annual average value per year at left tackle. So he wants to be back at the top of the heap or close to it. So we are back to square one now, where he wants a new contract or to be traded. And he has made this known to the Redskins. So I now ask all of you who say, bring Trent back, or let what happened in the past be in the rearview mirror, or you fired Larry Hess and you got rid of Bruce Allen and they were the big bad wolves and Trent Williams was the good guy. Because there's a lot of people that have been saying, not exactly in those words, but those types of things. Just let Trent come walking back through the door like he never held the team hostage and nothing ever happened. Let's just pretend like he's Mr. Redskin again and he can be an offensive captain, even though he last year told the team to kick rocks. Now what? Now we're back here again on February 28th. This was Mike Garofolo yesterday on NFL Network talking about Trent Williams.
An update here on the Trent Williams situation as we see whether the left tackle is going to come back to the Redskins in 2020. Ron Rivera spoke to the media here in Indy this week and said he has had good conversations with Williams, but it's an ongoing process. That much is true, but sources familiar with the situation who have spoken to me and Ian Rappaport said that in the communication recently between Williams and the Redskins, Williams said, if you're not going to redo my deal, and a reminder, he's heading into the last year of his contract, if you're not going to redo it, then trade me. And the Redskins in response said, look, we've got a lot going on here. We've got a new regime. We're getting settled. So at the very least, the impression we're getting is that that's pushed to the back burner. So is this a situation where in the next couple of weeks, we could see Trent Williams traded? Yes, Rappaport and I believe that that is a possibility. And if a team comes to the Redskins with the right amount of compensation, that they would be interested in moving Williams and getting some draft picks or maybe some players in return. So a situation that definitely bears watching as we get closer to the start of the league year, free agency, maybe even the draft, possibility that Trent Williams could be on the move.
Here's my take on this. Everything I have always heard, dating back to the end of the season, was that Trent Williams was not playing for the Redskins again. Period. I believe that there's been some damage control, that maybe there was even hope. I'm not saying that it was misleading for misleading's sake, but I think the Redskins were kind of hopeful, new head coach, let's have some meetings, let's see if he'll come back.
Let's reconcile.
But I don't think they plan on giving him a contract. If you're not giving him a contract, he will not be here. So here's my point. If it sounds like I'm being anti-Trent Williams, that's not my goal, Danny. I don't think he's the bad guy here. What I'm saying is, I think he has said the same thing all along. I don't think he has changed his mind. I think we were led to believe, well, maybe Trent will come back and play for Rivera. Maybe he'll play if Larry Hess isn't there. Maybe he'll play if there's a new training staff. My opinion is that Trent Williams does not want to play for the Redskins again unless they pay him elite money. And they have no interest in doing that with his injury history and multiple suspensions and 32 years old and the body that they feel like could break down in the next couple of seasons. So why are we dragging this out? This is maddening. This is like sitting here listening to your friend and the girl that they date, who you're also friends with, like bicker about each other constantly. You're not good together. Break up.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
I've had enough of this, and I'm a big, fat hypocrite. First, I'm big and fat. Second, I'm also a hypocrite, okay? Here's the deal. I'm a Trent Williams apologist in this entire thing. I do believe he was wronged by the Redskins. I think Bruce Allen's a villain, and I think he's a bad dude. He's gone. I think Larry Hess was bad at his job for a long time. I couldn't prove it, but that's the feeling. He's gone too. I'm on the side of people who are against those guys in general. This is all the same saga around in circles, and the Redskins in the old regime thinking they're smarter than everybody, and then now it sounds like the new regime may think the same thing. He should be traded. Enough of this. And here's why I'm a big fat hypocrite. I don't want them to make deals or make decisions out of emotion. That's what Bruce Allen did. And here I am as a fan who is so sick of this entire conversation and going around and around in circles. And I was wrong that I don't like them, but I'll play for a new deal. Trade me, play for, give me a new deal or trade me. One or the other. I'm so tired of this. I want him gone. I want him away, gone, done. I could not believe that headline when I saw it yesterday. When I heard Mike Garofalo say what he said, he's just filing a report, doing his job on television, nicely dressed, giving you a nice succinct report about what's going on. You could change the date on it. It's a damn Mad Lib. Enough. Enough of this problem. Enough of people not pulling the rope in the same direction. Enough of this entire saga. He should have been traded before all this crap happened last year,
right,
for a team that wasn't going anywhere. Then this crap happens. He still wasn't
By
traded
the way, I
every
wanna know,
day. Just it, get rid of it.
If they really ever turn down a first-round pick. Because that will really chap my hind parts.
And that was what was out there, right? Was it Cleveland said, please?
That has been a report. I want to know if it was for sure legitimate or not. But bottom line is this. I think the idea Redskins fans may have is, well, he wanted to be traded. Then he kind of wanted to talk to Ron Rivera and come back. And now he wants to be traded again. And my point is, I think that that is misleading. Whether it was on purpose or not, I don't know how that narrative got out there. I think Trent Williams has been saying and doing the same thing since the beginning. Look at every interview he did publicly. Every person that has talked to him has basically said the same stuff. No one ever came out and said, I talked to Trent Williams. He's hoping he can play for the Redskins again. You have not heard that at any point. 800-636-1067 is the number. Trent Williams, according to reporters yesterday, has told the Redskins, give me a new contract or trade me. You could say that he was held hostage by the team last year because they didn't trade him. He could say that he held the team hostage last year by never showing up and demanding that they move on from him. Regardless, It doesn't seem like anything's changed, even though the president and the training staff that he was largely mad at are gone. What's next for Williams? What's your take on how this ends? 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Always appreciate you guys listening to the show. We're with you until 2 today and every day. 30 minutes from now, Chad Dukes versus the world. So the news came out yesterday. Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, I believe, had it first. Josina Anderson would go on to make a couple of reports as the day went on about Trent Williams' public. The idea is this. Trent Williams wants to be traded if he's not going to be paid by the Redskins. The way this is now being billed is that Trent Williams has either had some reversal or change of heart or change of mind. Like, at one point, this is what he wanted, but then he wanted to meet with Ron Rivera and see what happened, and now he's giving them another ultimatum. And my point is, all along, I think Trent Williams has been the same dude. I think last year, this offseason, and right now, he has said the exact same thing. Pay me, let's play football. And the Redskins don't want to pay him. Which, by the way, if they don't want to pay him, I don't have a huge issue with that.
Sure.
He is going to be 32. He has not played a 16-game season in several years. And last year, he decided he was not going to show up unless it was on his terms. So if you want to hold that against him and you want to trade him, that's your prerogative. What I can't abide again, and what is completely ridiculous, is that you don't pay him, you keep him, he's not going to play, and then you refuse to trade him as well.
So some sort of staring contest where there are no winners. Again, the thing I asked, it's a Bill Parcells axiom, but what was the upside? What was the benefit? What did you prove last year?
Yeah, where are they better off? Or how did they win is the wrong word. Let me.
But that's
what did they get out of this so far?
He was trying to win. Talking about Bruce Snyder, who set the direction of the organization. His plan, according to reports, was to find Trent Williams so much that he came back. So now Trent Williams is so fined, not so fine, R&B style, but he's so fined, so much money's come out of his pocket, he's like, I can't wait to come back to the Redskins. They've been fining me. I'm going to give him my best.
Well, that's another thing.
It's so stupid.
If he comes back, at the least, they're going to have to say, you don't have to pay any of that. They also don't want to do that.
Yeah, I understand everyone's perspective here. Okay, so here's what I mean. The Redskins go, when you sign this deal, top of the market. Now, you're, by the way, it's not an embarrassment. You're like, what, sixth in AAV in terms of it? And you don't have that much guaranteed money, but you signed it. Trent Williams going, yeah, I don't really want to play on not having that much guaranteed money. I get that. This is what's called an impasse.
Well, let me ask you this.
You trade him.
Who do you think was more interested in setting up a meeting with the other? Ron Rivera or Trent Williams?
I lean Rivera.
Rivera's the head coach of the team who's trying to establish and set his culture. And he needs, he feels like, to get Trent Williams on his side. Number one, I need him to show up because I'm a better football team today. The excellent left tackle, the 7-time Pro Bowler, the guy who's been unbelievable throughout his entire career and is ultra-athletic at a position where guys lack his physical traits and tools. He needs that guy to play because his football team's better, number one. Number two, he needs that guy to believe in what he's doing. He needs him on board so he can get everyone else on board. So I would think, Rivera says, hey, let's talk. I would have to imagine in that meeting, Trent says, pay me money. And Ron Rivera says, hey, man, I don't know if we can pay you right now, but we certainly need you to come back. Let's just bury the hatchet.
You're under contract, buddy. Can you come back for me, pal?
That's my guess at how that went. Went very well. You haven't heard Rivera come out and say he expects Trent Williams to play. In fact, it's kind of been the opposite. He goes, we'll see what happens. They're still at an impasse, the team says. The player says, trade me or pay me. Nothing has changed here. And you know, I think there's probably a correlation to the Dunbar situation as well. Dunbar wants to be paid. He, quote-unquote, met with Ron Rivera. I'd imagine that conversation was similar. Ron Rivera talking about culture and, hey, I can't pay you, man. Listen, you can't just tell us you want to be traded and next thing we know we give you a bunch of money and everyone sees that. That's bad for the culture. That's bad for the brand. That's a bad look for me in my first season. I need you to prove it to me. I need you to show me how good you are. I need you to stay healthy. Go play 15, 16 games. Be great. We'll take care of you next offseason. And if you're Dunbar, you're going, dude, I make $3 million. You're about to sign a corner that isn't as good as me and pay him maybe $10 million? So you can see that impasse. But you can kind of see how these meetings have maybe played out where the players want one thing, the coach wants something else. If you can't work it out, and I think they can with Dunbar because he's young enough in his career. There's enough upside for him. He hasn't been healthy enough. But if he actually just played one healthy, really good season, He'll make himself a ton of money on the market.
Right, you bet on yourself and you win. You're do what Kirk Cousins did, basically.
I could see the middle ground there. I cannot see middle ground with Trent Williams. Why continue to waste everyone's time?
What's the best thing for the Redskins here?
They need to just trade him. Just trade him.
It's been the case every day for a year and a half.
There's only 12 teams that would really want him. And if you can't get what you could have last year, by the way, you can't because Bruce Allen screwed this up so badly. I'm sorry about that, but take what you can get. If you can get a third-round pick or a fourth and a fourth the following year or something, whatever the best offer is, for the next month leading up to the draft, you say, Trent Williams is available, we will be trading him, submit your best offers like you're selling a house. And whatever the best one is, you take it, you call everyone else and say, sorry, you didn't get it. Let's go to John, in Sterling. John, you're on Grant and Danny. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call. Grant, you just made one of my points. So in the last five seasons, he's missed two full seasons due to substance abuse, injury, and holding out. My opinion is let him sit out another year and or honor his contract. That's how I feel.
So you're keeping him as a Redskin and basically calling his bluff that he'll sit out again.
Yeah, I mean, what we could be 7-9 with him or without him. I mean, what has he done? You know, even if he was our best player all those years.
But why wouldn't you want an asset back?
Yeah, see, I think that's fair, but how does that help you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it helps you to not have him play for you, then he gets to walk away and you get nothing?
And that just seems like some spite. Yes, he missed 3 games in 18. He missed 6 games in 17. He missed 4 games in 16. He missed 2 games in 15. He missed a game in 14. He hadn't played a full season since 13. Cool. It's unprecedented for a team for 2 years to just stomp their feet and go, well, this guy doesn't want to play for us. He can't play for anybody. It's like a company executing a non-compete. Like the fan blows us out. We're trying to support our family. We go somewhere else to try to work, and they go, nope, can't work for us, but you can't work for anyone else either. I understand if your point is move on from Trent Williams. In fact, I'm very cool with that. I've been saying trade him since last year. I get it. If you're saying he's going to get hurt again, you might be right. He doesn't play 16 games. You need a guy like Ty Nsekhe. You don't have Ty Nsekhe anymore. Makes a left tackle spot a big question mark. Okay. Yeah, you're right. 5 to 6 times a year, you might have a left tackle you weren't planning on starting that you don't pay like a starter. I get that. I'd make the case you had that 16 times last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand your logic. Not wanting to get something back for an asset, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's the Bruce Allen method. You proved some point. I don't know what point was proven that you weren't going to play a game of chicken. You weren't going to be dictated to or something like that. What's best for the Redskins? How do you win the most games? How do you get closer to a Super Bowl? Is it by having a staring contest with Trent Williams and getting nothing? No, right? That's just not it. Is it overpaying a guy that misses a bunch of games and is going to be on the backside of his career? That's not it either.
By the way, he showed back up this year. He was in the facility with the team. He would do the same this year. So you would just literally lose his last year of his contract and he'd become a free agent at the end of the year, and then he'd walk. So all you will have done is just, what, watched him sit out for 2 years and gotten nothing back? I'll reiterate, I don't understand the end game there or how that benefits you. JaVale and Culpepper, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
You don't just trade Trent Williams, man. You don't just trade Trent Williams. And we don't know exactly what the Redskins were offered last year. You know, there was rumors of the Browns with the first round pick, but we don't know that to be actually true. Trent Williams is, 32 years old. You look at Trent Williams now, he's still a top five tackle. And the only thing you can really say bad about him is his marijuana suspensions, and I get that. But you look at the injuries, you can't say the injuries because most of the injuries Trent Williams played through. You know, he had a thumb injury a couple years ago, and on his second opinion, the physician told him that he shouldn't have been playing at all, and he shouldn't have played the rest of the year, and he still played.
I've said this before.
You know what I'm saying?
He's the toughest dude ever.
He is the toughest guy, JaVale, I ever covered. I literally remember Wednesdays where he could not walk down to the practice field without basically limping his way down there, not practicing, and then he'd be playing on Sunday. I don't know how he did it.
Right. So you take a look now, other than quarterback, offensive linemen have the longest lifeline in the NFL. You know, you take Jason Peters, for example. Everybody would say he's top 5 to 7, I would say, tackle. He's 38 years old. Mm-hmm. He's still productive. You know, you have for whatever you take Pro Football Focus at, for its worth, the highest rated left tackle in free agency this year is Anthony Costanza for the Colts. Anthony Costanza and Trent Williams are the same age. Mm-hmm. Okay? So unless the Redskins trade back and don't go the chase route that everybody assumes and takes one of the top two tackles in the league, you have to pay this man. Because reason being, he is still productive and he can still give you four or five quality Pro Bowl caliber All-Pro years.
Like 4 years and $35 million guaranteed, like $60 million contract.
I would say you have to look at what the top five. For example, if Jason Peters, he's a free agent as well, but the Eagles can't franchise him because of his age. You know what I'm saying? So they're not going to put that amount of money into a 38-year-old. But when it comes to Trent, who is 6 years younger, I think you look at the top five to seven and you give him something comparable.
That's what I just offered. That's the money that I'm talking about. You're talking about $15 million plus for a left tackle. Sorry, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, 4-62 basically is what Nate Solder signed for.
I'm just not. He has not played 16 games since 2013. That excludes you at 32 from getting a massive contract from me. I'm sorry. Now, it doesn't mean I don't love Trent Williams. I do. If he wants to play on his current deal, I'm welcoming him back with open arms. If he wants to sign a 2-year contract for maybe, you know, $32 million fully guaranteed, I'd give him that. But I am not committing to 3-4 years at 32 years old with his history. I can't do that.
Right. And to me, the only thing I object to, and again, it's a great call by JaVale, I'm not just trading him. I'm not doing it for my health. I'm not doing it because this is like a fun little game, like I'm doing a fantasy game or I'm on Madden. I'm not just doing something. I'm doing it because I'm at an impasse. I'm doing it because I'm in a stare down with a player that's going on 2 years now.
Yeah, this is over a year of this. Grant and Danny on the Fan. You know what realization I came to yesterday?
No, sir.
Ben Affleck is the actor that I put on too much of a pedestal. Like, everything that he's in, I normally either like too much or over-expect. Like, I ask too much out of those films. So, you know, Argo is one of my favorite movies ever. Loved Argo, which he both produced, I think even directed, won the Academy Award for, and acted in. Gone Girl is so good. The Town is one of my favorite crime movies back in 2010 was awesome.
Not going to be playing House with Shine up there. It's a 10.
That movie is just... There's a couple of scenes and quotes in that movie that I'll always think are some of the coolest quotes and scenes ever. Like
You can't ask me about it later. Right, we're going to hurt some people.
He like walks in and his buddy's sitting on the couch. He's like, we got to go somewhere. We're going to hurt some people. You can never ask me any questions or something like that. And the guy goes, Who's Kawhi going to take?
Jeremy Renner, who, by the way, you sleep on.
Renner's, I'm sure I sleep. He's
that guy's
so
a team is diverse.
But anyway, Ben Affleck is in a movie that's coming out that I think it's on the 6th.
It's The Way Back, right? It's the basketball.
The Way Back. He's a basketball coach. It seems a little bit like Coach Carter, too, to be honest with you. I think I've seen this movie about 15 years ago, and it's called Coach Carter.
Now, you don't think this group's going to be able to do it. Oh, but then they can do it.
I think they might do it. So I'm going to go watch that because Ben Affleck's in it,
sure.
And it's a basketball movie, and it's right up my alley. But my point is, Affleck is the dude that I overhype. And if he's in a movie, not great, but I'll go see it. You got a guy like that?
Tom Hardy. If Tom Hardy bothers to make it, your pal's going to see it. And it's...
Even that weird chick flick with him and, like, Chris Pine,
yeah, where they're fighting over Reese
Vying
Witherspoon.
For the same girl, yeah.
I've seen that one. I forget what it's called, but I've definitely seen it.
That was a theater trip?
No, it wasn't theater, but I went out of my way to find it on the cables. I even saw that terrible Mad Max movie, which artsy critic people tell me was great. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I didn't like Mad Max at all.
It was horrendous. Anybody tells you different, they're just trying to
was
prove how smart
they are. Was it Theron, or who is the girl with one arm?
Charlize Theron, or yes. Theron, or Justin Theroux had one arm in it, and that's why we're supposed to be impressed. He's so good in everything he does. In one of my favorite television programs, he plays just a small role named Alfie Simmons in, why am I blanking on the name? I'm sure it's my favorite show. I'm blanking on the name of the damn thing.
Well, maybe you should learn the name.
I should probably learn the name. Peaky Blinders. Thank you. I couldn't remember. He plays this tiny role, and he's only in the show for like 25, 30 minutes, entire thing, but he steals every scene that he's in. He's in all the Christopher Nolan movies. He crushed it as Bane. He's awesome in Inception. He's handsome. I watched that big, dumb Tinker Tailor Soldier boredom.
Soldier Take a Nap. That movie. Dunk on ice.
4 hours of subtlety.
True story.
Awesome.
Me and my brother went to that movie. I begged him to go with me. I'm like, dude, I really want to go to this movie. Please come with me. He's like, oh, I don't really know if I want to go.
Your brother's not like, British. Why do you do that?
He's a British pirate.
He's not.
He's from Peaky Blinders. And I'm like, dude, come on. And he's like, okay, fine. You buy the popcorn and the drinks. So he came.
Such an underrated thing.
I bought him the popcorn and the drinks. He fell asleep like 15 minutes in, and he was snoring so loud I had to wake him up twice.
It's the only time that Danny has actually been correct about the Academy Awards, where everyone told us that movie was going to be the greatest movie we've ever seen.
It was my guy Gary Oldman.
The acting's incredible.
Army Hammer.
Unanimously hated by anyone who's watched
Cumberbatch. It was just a bunch of dudes that should have made a smash. And Tommy, they told us you got to see this.
Right. It's the only time Danny's been right, but now he's going to act like every movie since then is the same.
The only time I'm right. I'm most certain about that.
There's been a couple, but not many on your Academy Award front.
Venom was garbage, but I didn't care. I went and saw it.
Venom's a good one.
Just a pedestrian film, and he's great. I don't care what he does.
I'd rather just keep talking about how bad
Taylor Soldier hired thing.
Taylor Swift.
That movie. Just watch Miss Americana on Netflix.
2 hours has never felt like 8 hours before.
You know what I caught, by the way, the other night? I even tweeted about it. The movie Warrior that he's in.
It's a good movie.
It is incredible.
Very good movie.
And I think MMA's dumb, and he was awesome in it.
This weekend, your sports calendar. You got the DC Defenders Sunday night. They play at 7 p.m. You can hear the game right here on The Fan or on radio.com. It will be televised on ESPN2. The Wizards are in action.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.